the little thing.
That's so funny. I didn't even realize it either.
Oh.
Welcome to the show. We've got Nick Austin. We're talking about... Oh my God, we just had the most amazing in-depth conversation about queer cinema, and you guys have missed all of it. All of it. Oh my God. Quick recap. Yeah. Go.
No. We talked about Oscars. We have Oscar predictions and
yeah,
we talked about every film that's nominated.
I love that we just went Oscar predictions, Oppenheimer for everything.
Yeah.
I love the thing about, but one of the things on the Barbie thing that I loved was like her feet, that they looked like they were, when she became a real person, they were flat. They weren't like the foot that goes into the shoe.
That's so funny.
That was such a cool little detail, that when she's like, she screams in horror that her feet are flat.
You know, the thing of it is, like, God damn it, we covered so much. You know, we have gone from talking about like the queerness of, you know, the people. And can we just talk a little bit about the fashion, the queerness in the fashion?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell?
Nick and I wrote about that too.
Actually, a little bit.
Yeah, because, you know, with so many more queer stars getting recognition, we're seeing a lot more adventurous risk-taking fashion on the red carpet, and we're seeing it spill over to, you know, more cishet actors who are wearing that same kind of style. You know, we're seeing, you know, Barry Keoghan and Timotei wearing like harnesses, you know, which is like so iconographically gay, and, you know, just all the femininity and all of the styles for all the queer stars.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
And like 2 seconds after the SAG Award, you know, I'm exaggerating, but like it was the, oh my God, I don't want to get this wrong, Giorgio Armani show.
Yeah.
And my feed became just Kate Blanchett. Like, it just, I was like, oh my God, okay, all right, okay. Everywhere, but you know, nobody wears a suit as well as her. I mean, a nice, you know, tailored suit, and she looks amazing every time.
Oh yeah.
Any color, any cut, like it's just, it's incredible. There was I'm texting you about the red carpet commentary for Netflix choosing Tan France and his choice to wear a what looked to be a windshield wiper. I blew my mind. I was so distracted by Ali Wong's dress that looked like a cum fountain. I was like, what's happening?
I liked her dress. Amazing.
And then she took it off when she got up there to win for the win for beef.
I know, that was bad. I did not appreciate that. She needed to wear that up on stage.
Yeah.
Striving, looking like your hipster grandmother was fantastic.
Yes.
Melissa McCarthy in the black hefty bag was amazing. And letting Billie Eilish right on her face with the show.
That was so funny.
Eye point. I mean, there was a lot going on, like a lot going on. So I was really, really distracted by the fashion. But like I said to you, my crush has been recharged for Jennifer Aniston.
Aw.
She's looking amazing.
She does.
I'm so glad that she's cut her hair like a little bit. Like it's not the, you know, like I think at a certain age, it's hard to get away with that long. You know, and I don't want to badmouth anybody, but I feel that way about like JD, no offense whatsoever, rock stars like Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you.
Like, come on now. I mean, really? Yeah. Stevie Nicks, it's like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you gonna be like 80? Like, look at Joni Mitchell. Like, I think, you know, like, talk it out in a hat or do something, but. Yeah, that probably drives me a little bit crazy when you're old and it's just like, So I love that this was the time that she went a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
It looks like she's fucking glowing. You know, and that dress was amazing. I couldn't, there was not, I couldn't fault anything.
She's almost like, is she human that she looks that good? And she's, well,
No, it's amazing.
I don't
Absolutely.
know. Or
You know
she.
what we didn't talk about, and Nick, we let's cover it now that we're recording. was Bradley Cooper's film, Maestro.
Oh no. Why'd you have to ask me about Maestro?
Because I'm interested to know why Carey Mulligan, who anytime she ever does anything, all eyes on, you know, like it's like she's just like, you know, like a Isabella Rossellini thing, like does something once every 4 years and everybody goes nuts over it. And she's not, it's not happening here. And I'm wondering, was it script? Was it the look? Was it the piece? You know, like what went wrong with Maestro?
Oh, I think a lot of things personally. You know, I really appreciate Bradley Cooper's dedication and passion for Leonard Bernstein and how connected he felt to the character. But I think that it was more of like a vanity project at the end of the day. And I think he got so wrapped up in what he was trying to create, that it became less about Leonard Bernstein, the person, and more about Bradley Cooper, the performance. And most of the conversation was about his preparation, his acting
Yeah,
technique,
did
and
I
all.
read that it took him 6 years to make this?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And the
Wow.
scene that everybody was talking about, that everybody has been praising, I don't see it. When I saw that scene, I don't get the technical or acting brilliance of him conducting, and you know, it's supposed to be this famous iconic moment, and I did not get really anything from it. It didn't feel as grand and momentous as it should have been, and I felt that way throughout the entire film. I didn't like Maestro personally. I didn't like the way that the narrative was set up. I thought that the shooting and style was kind of gimmicky, and I didn't like the queer representation either. You know, I understand it was a relationship, you know, it was about this relationship of Leonard Bernstein and Fernanda. Wait, no, what's her name that Carey Mulligan played? I forget the character's name. I think it is
I
it
never even
Fernanda
knew about her.
Montenegro?
I never even knew about that part of his life.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I didn't even hear about this movie. Where have I been? I'm
Yeah, you know, it's on Netflix if you want to see
gonna
it.
look for that. Yeah, I mean, I.
It's not here yet. And now I don't even know if I want to, but I think I was a little bit, I was a little bit shocked about that because I did there was a lot of hype surrounding it, and then it just went boom and fell off the map.
That's
The more
probably why I
people
didn't
that
hear
saw
about
it, the quieter everything got about it, you know? And it was like,
it.
oh, that's not a sign. What the hell?
Right?
I think that people in the end didn't connect with it because, you know, there were just some issues with the film. It was my least favorite out of the all of the Best Picture nominees, seeing all of them. And
Talk about
no,
the
I think that
rest of it.
people,
Talk about
other
the
things
crew.
stood out.
Yeah. So you said the thing that you didn't connect with anything, even the queer representation.
Yeah.
But we I felt like the what I got from it was that the marriage was very contractual, kind of. You know, like I'm not saying there wasn't feelings there, but it didn't transactional, you know, kind of thing. But you felt like was it the portrayal or the way they came at it?
Yeah, you know, I think that because the focus was on this relationship between those two real life people, that that became the primary focus, and that his sexuality was more of a conflict than it was an insight into who Leonard Bernstein was as a person. We didn't see as much representation of him as a queer person. It was just so much focused on his relationship, and the queerness was a secondary cause to the conflict within the film,
Yeah.
and that was my issue with it, really.
Oh wow. I felt that way about Tar.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that was awful. No joke. And I'll watch anything with Cate Blanchett, but that was painful. That was painful to get through. I didn't feel the spiral that everybody talked about at
Yeah.
all, but it was di really difficult to get through. And I don't ever say this about stuff, but the sound for a movie that was about conducting and music and orchestral everything, the sound was really, really bad. You know, like I had my volume on 35, and then I would have to drop it back down to like 15 when the music was on. But when it was the talking and dialogue, I had to put it, back up to 35. It was like it stressed me out. Like I couldn't get with it, and I didn't see why everybody was so, enamored with it.
That's crazy that happens with movies, right? Where it's like all of a sudden the music comes on and it gets super loud, and then,
Yeah, I
especially.
expect it. And I don't know if it was just whatever we were watching it on, like a, like
Yeah.
a movie channel. I don't know that it was like that in the theaters, but I expect that from TV, not in a movie. So it was really, really difficult. I don't know. That was part of
Missed
my.
that movie on another show, and I started to watch it, but I couldn't get into it. I think maybe I should try it again, maybe just to see if I could get through it. But I do like Cate Blanchett,
Yeah,
so yeah,
she's
it's hard
definitely tough.
not like something that she's in, but.
Yeah. But so, all right. So we're looking forward to. Well, I'm looking forward to finding the Billy Porter movie with Luke Evans. But we're all looking forward to Kristen Stewart's wrestling movie.
Yes.
It feels like a little punkish. A little Tarantino-ish. I mean, a little, there's a
Right.
little, yeah, it feels a little, there's a little bit of thuggery in it. Jay, you might know, because we're very night country. We were just, didn't get to finale. I didn't get to finale until the same time you did. But that Kaylee Reis was a boxer before this and had only acted in two other things.
Oh yeah.
I can
You
see
had
that.
mentioned that, I think, the last time we were talking about that.
Yeah, like utterly amazed. And the fact,
I could see that looking at her physique. I could see where that is probably possible. But yeah.
the fight scene at the end where she's beating the crap out of that guy, you're like,
Is she
yeah, she knows how to throw a punch.
in the queer community? Is she I don't know much about her as a as an actress.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. No idea.
I haven't looked her up. I liked Night Country also. I thought that the ending didn't really like stick the landing. I
I
thought,
said the
oh,
same thing. I
yeah,
said the
I
same
know.
thing. I need JD. JD needs closure. Like we talked about, she needs
Healthy.
every question answered, like for it to
Right.
get tidy. Like I get that. For me, I was so distracted
Yeah.
when Danvers was giving her statement in the last like whatever 5 minutes with the Hawaii mug. Like, why did they keep focusing on that? Why did she keep picking it up? Why did it seem like it
Yeah,
was
that's a good
important?
point.
But
Yeah.
then she also said nobody ever leaves, nobody who ever really leaves Alaska. But then she's sitting on the porch, and was that really Navarro? Or was it, did Navarro go, like leave and never come back? Or did she follow the path of her sister? Or did she go to Hawaii?
I want them to tell me what the ending is. I want to know, like you said,
The
but
crime stuff, I totally understood, from the minute the indigenous ladies
yeah,
explained everything.
right.
And
Yeah,
man, I'll tell you something, they should do the next one all about Rose Agnew.
oh
Don't
yeah.
you feel like there's a big fucking story there, like
Yes,
starring
like
MI6 or something?
I love her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
like why cast Fiona Shaw if I felt like there was so much more that they could have done. Like, what was the point of that character?
They could have,
To help bury the body, yeah.
like, what I
Honestly,
have to say too that I found it really hard to believe Jodie Foster in those sex scenes with the guys. I just didn't, and that she was supposed to be this person that was with so many different guys and stuff. Like, I don't know. I just didn't see that in that character. I just didn't, I don't know.
the tough connect is for her as a mom, too,
Yeah.
was a little hard.
But
I don't know.
I think I agree with you, Nick. Like, they could have gone so much deeper in some other points of other characters where they didn't. They just went just over
But
it. Was it that there weren't enough episodes to really dig into that? Or, I mean, I don't know.
my episodes were so long. Like,
Maybe they
were
weren't.
yours like mine
Yeah.
were like an hour and a half, weren't they?
Yeah, they were long. They were long. It just seemed like they didn't tell the story enough on all the characters, like.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I actually tweeted about it, how I felt that this season could have benefited from a couple more episodes to dive into
Yeah.
the characters a little bit more and maybe wrap up things a little bit better because the final episode spent so much time on Danvers and Navarro, and we have all these other peripheral characters that get like one brief scene every like 10 minutes, and we
Yeah.
don't get much resolution throughout
Right.
that.
Right. 100%. Like 100%. I agree with that. It was, yeah, it was the thing for me is like I kept saying to myself, like about the first three episodes, at least once in every episode, I would say, I don't know if I can watch this. It's really bordering on a little too creepy for me.
Right.
Oh, I
There
were
love
a few like big jumps where like God damn it, that kind of
that.
you're like, oh, I hate being like that, scared like that. But overall, like it did end up like really keeping my attention, and I was super pissed that they didn't throw up all the episodes at once over here like
Oh,
they normally
yeah.
do. Like waiting, I'm spoiled, man. I hate waiting week to week, especially when something's that good.
Yeah, I hated waiting.
Nick, do you have BritBox?
I signed up for a free trial, so
Oh, I highly ex suggest Vigil and Trigger Point.
for shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, these have it's
Are they
both of those
on
kept us like this. And they're only six episodes again. Six episodes, they move really quick because they're that's a
Netflix?
season. Yeah.
Netflix?
It's
BritBox.
BritBox.
Oh, BritBox. You just said, okay.
Yeah, it's it yeah, because I don't think I don't think they're on anything other than the streaming services that we have for our channels. So I don't, I'm thinking it might be BritBox.
Think
But
I
going back to Jodie Foster and the awards, we're covering queer awards season here. The character, her playing Bonnie in Naiad,
Yeah.
was, I think that really well deserved. Really,
Love
too.
yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of the film Naiad. I really liked the director's previous film. They did Free Solo, and it was a documentary that was really riveting and engaging. And so they brought that same kind of execution to Diana Naiad's story. And it didn't really translate as well, in my opinion, but I thought that the performances were, of course, incredible. And I loved seeing Jodie Foster again. Like, when was the last time that we actually saw her in like a movie
Yeah,
or something? And
I agree.
so
I
cool that she
agree.
got
And doing it, she did so much directing, like she was behind the camera.
to
You
be. Yeah.
know, we haven't really seen her, and that was one of the things I was saying that I watched her being interviewed with Christiane Amanpour, and Christiane said to her, "How did it feel to be back in front of the camera, but at this age, and not doing, the high glam?" And the movie face and movie hair, like you really played it down, like, and she was
Yeah.
like, hey, yeah, wrinkles and all, wrinkles and all, she was like, you know, like.
Is that what she looks like, or did they make her look more wrinkly? Because I couldn't tell.
I don't know. I thought she looked good during the interview when she was just, you know. Yeah,
she looked quite that wrinkly in real life.
I'm surprised that was even a topic of conversation, you know, well, especially because she was
Saying about, like, what did you have to do, like, you know, to prepare? Did you have to do anything after you had met and all that kind of stuff? And she just said, "Not, you know, I didn't have to do a whole lot, you know, it was Annette Bening that had to do it." She's like, but. Yeah, she said, you know, it didn't phase her one way or another to look like that on film, you know.
Wow. Well, she's got a great body though. I mean, wow, her abs and everything were, you know, in the scene where she was sitting on the boat.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said for that too. I mean, you know, another to have one. That at her age.
Yeah. But she's looked amazing, you know, at any of the award ceremonies that, you know, that she's been at. So,
she's aging. Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah.
I've never really seen her as much of like a very vanity focused person, honestly. Right. So I definitely don't see that being an issue for her at all. And I love that she continues to bring that, you know, everywhere she goes.
That's actually a great point, Nick. Like, why is that? Why was that a topic of conversation for her?
Because it was really celebrated. That's what I liked about it.
Celebrated.
It wasn't talked about like in a negative way at all. It was really like celebrated, you know, and I honestly, like, I kind of understand it does take guts for you to look crappy in a role. You know, like, not crappy, but average.
Oh, it's so normal. So yeah.
I don't think that Jodi would see it that way. Probably.
No, probably not. Like, that's why she said, like, it didn't really matter to me. It was
exactly.
It was a good script, a great story. You know, I was just trying to be the best Bonnie. You know that.
Yes. Because
they know now, they all know each other. They play cards and all that stuff. So, you better hope you did a good job.
love that movie. I watched that movie so many times. I found it very inspiring.
Felt like once was enough.
Once was enough.
Which is enough. I couldn't stand.
I love their friendship. I love their friendship too. Yeah. I thought that was.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely good. But I just thought that it's great to see her back. And one of the questions that Christiane asked her was like, what's next? And she said, I feel like I'm ready to get back behind the camera again.
Wow. Really?
Back to back, you know, being on screen. Now I'm ready to get back behind it again. I'm like, ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Just a little treat being in front of the camera. And now, you know, we got to anticipate more in the
back
future.
Back to the art. Back
good
to the
point. Art. Yeah. Good point.
I do want to talk about, like, who we talked about, Barry Kay, right? And was Salt nominated for anything, or is he just there?
It did not get nominated for any Oscars. I'm glad it didn't, you know. I enjoyed it. Like, it was fun to watch, you know, but it's not good, you know. The narrative is poorly executed, but other than that, you know, it's a fun time, you know. It's fun to watch, you know. It's very beautifully shot, the cinematography, all of the set design, you know, and the people. It's like, it's gorgeous. So, but it's not good.
Is it fun to watch? Because I don't, I heard about the bathtub scene and I'm like, well, that's it. I'm not watching this.
See, that is like nothing to me. Like, as a gay man, I'm like, that is like nothing. That does not turn me off at all. But I get why people were grossed out by that. But
the thing,
it was so funny. It was so ridiculous.
Ridiculously grossed out
Nobody does that,
No,
you know.
here's the thing. I'm so, and my wife will tell you this. I am so grossed out by a piece of hair on the tile in this room.
Oh, yeah, me
Or on
too.
me, if it's on me, and even if it's my own,
Ah, what
I'm
was
like,
with the
oh,
bathroom scene? I
oh,
didn't see.
please.
What
When
was
I'm
the thing
done,
about?
oh,
You
you
say
didn't see it?
didn't see it. Can
So
you say it?
to quickly surmise,
You say it?
one guy watches another guy jerk off in the bathtub, and after the guy gets out and leaves the bathroom, he goes in and does he lick the water, drink the water,
Oh.
and then lick the drain? Is that how it works?
He slurps it a couple times and yeah,
Oh.
licks all around that drain.
Ah, that's not a bathtub you'd be getting in, Denise.
Oh, the very thought of it touching my, oh. I don't know. I even get like a little bit, I have to talk myself down when I go to the hair salon and then they're washing your hair because I'm thinking about all the hair that's sticking to their fingers and how could they ever have
Oh.
that.
But was there a hair in
Oh,
the
doesn't matter. It's the thought of it.
bathtub?
Oh God. I get, well, hang on. Okay, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to throw up. But no, I did wonder because he really is on every carpet right now, you know? And I was just like, did it get nominated or no? Okay, no. Were you
No,
surprised at
everybody loves
all?
Barry Key again.
Were you surprised at all at the SAG Awards when Elizabeth Debicki won for The Crown?
You know, I was really curious what was going to happen in the lead races for the SAGs because there hasn't been much of a consensus throughout award season, you know, and most of it has really gone to Succession. But as soon as, was it, I think it was her that won first. As soon as she had won, I knew that whoever was going to win lead actor was not going to be a Succession person. Like I was like, yeah. And as soon as Pedro Pascal won, I was like, yep, that makes sense. So I was kind of surprised by both of those. Those were the only two races that I was surprised by. But
I
you
was
know, I'm
too.
happy
I
for
was
them,
really surprised. I'm sick of Succession. I'm
you
sick of them winning. Like I'm sick of the name, sick of saying it. I'm sick of the actors' faces, everything.
They are officially done as
Yeah. I feel good about that. I feel good about
the
that. Good choice.
award.
Jesus Christ. And let's talk a little bit about the Golden Globes, because do you, what's your process for coming up with your Oscar predictions? Is it, what's more important? What's more telling? Is it Golden Globes or is it SAG or is it Critics' Choice?
So I think what has really made the Golden Globes popular, not only because it's been considered like the fun award ceremony, so everybody goes to
Yeah,
it,
because it covers
but
the gamut, right? Like it covers TV and
it's
movies.
true.
Yeah.
You know, they always award like the biggest stars and nominate them to get them to come. But you know, the thing about the Golden Globes is they happen so early in award season so that it does help create some kind of conversation around certain nominees. But because the Golden Globes is made up of international journalists, you know,
That the
there's no
Hollywood
overlap.
Foreign Press? Is that
Yeah, the Hollywood Foreign Press, which actually it's n that doesn't even exist anymore. It's something else.
okay?
But
Good to
yeah,
know.
they disbanded the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Cross that out of everybody's acceptance speech.
Yep,
Don't
yep.
look at
So funny. But, you know, there isn't really any kind of overlap with the voting body, of course. So I always focus on the
one.
guild. So.
I remember when I first moved here, one of the things I was most taken by, impressed by, was that every thing here feels all-encompassing. Like every commercial, it's an interracial couple. Every sitcom has, Asian characters, in it, you know, comedian, like, you know, I was just amazed at that, let alone the way they treat disabilities. Like, there's always somebody that's in a wheelchair or using, you know, crutches, or, and it normalized it so much for me, because it was stuff that I, you know, was not familiar with from growing up watching what I watched in the States. It's very, very different here. So to hear you say that is really, really interesting. You know, it really is. They just don't make movies with those people, but man, are they all over the TV.
That's
Well,
an
yeah. What were you gonna say, JD?
No, I was going to say she makes an excellent point that that's
Yeah.
something you don't normally see, and it's nice to see that they're normalizing that, you know.
Maybe that is like why it's on TV, you know, because more people are home watching TV as opposed to now seeing big films, you know? Oh,
Yeah.
you know, I think when it comes to the BAFTAs and also the representation, I see that a lot over here in the States too. You know, there's all of this like representation, especially in advertising. You know, everything is so diverse, but it's mostly just, you know, display performative, because when these people are not recognized by awards bodies, for example, it's something that is really telling, you know, that it's just for diversity's sake and to look like they're doing what is
That,
progressive.
especially like as we said before, going back to so many things now are focusing on marginalized communities and indigenous people and queer, you know, all the queer storylines that have been coming up and celebrated. And sometimes they don't get them right, like we understand that, you know, but they're trying, you know. And we're talking about cinematic releases, you know, and now streamers, you know, left and right, which is great because they're eligible for awards, you know what I mean? Like, they're making good things, you know. Like, so yeah, I think it's you want to see more of that. Like, you want to see more of the Lily Gladstones and the Kristen Stewarts and, you know, people, you know, that are making that kind of
Agree with
stuff.
that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the obvious, like you said, like the Lady Gaga thing, you know, before, earlier, like, you know, when you see someone who you're not expecting, someone who's coming out of, you know, comes out of, like, they're not already celebrated with the big, huge, huge, huge name or whatever winning. That's like really what it's about. Like, then it's about the performance and not about whose name is going to bring more people.
It feels more deserved, you know, like we were saying, Oppenheimer.
Like that girl that won years ago. What was the movie? The heavyset girl, the black girl.
Gabrielle Sidibe.
Yes. What was that
Can I
movie
say
she
it? Nick, what's her name?
Gabourey
There you go.
What was it?
Yeah, Precious. It was
Precious.
the Precious. Yeah.
Precious. What a great out of the box win. And then the woman, who was it that played her mother? That was an amazing performance.
Monique. Monique.
Monique. Thank
Yeah.
you.
I mean,
I'm
in all honesty, she's kind of fucked herself, hasn't she? Because she could have really went on and done good things, but she's such a crybaby loudmouth that nobody wants to work with her anymore.
You know, I think that people, you know, portrayed her that way. You know, I think that she was much of an outsider, very abrasive when she was on the awards trail, and she really rubbed people the wrong way. But I don't think she said anything that was so outrageous that.
Not back then. I mean, all the way up until present time.
Oh, what has she been
Doing it.
saying now?
I don't know. I just saw some article. In fact, I commented on it and all these people gave me shit and I'm like, okay, whatever.
I love the way I
What's the
caught
internet for if not an opinion?
that.
You know, I it was about how she was criticizing Hollywood because after Melissa McCarthy blew up, how she was able to really grow a career from her big Oscar moment, even though she didn't win. But you know, Monique won, and you know, she hasn't really done anything since. So I think that she was calling that out, the racist double standard. But I don't know if they're exactly the most comparable actors and, you know, trajectories for
Yeah.
their careers.
I feel like Melissa McCarthy has honed her craft like nobody's business, like starting
Right.
with improv, doing the writing, putting in the time, you know,
Yes.
like, and then her, it's talent on top of creativity, on top of execution. You know what I mean? And I'm not quite sure you can say that about Monique. I don't think that.
Well, you never know,
brain
like,
out scripts.
If she possibly was given more opportunities after
Yeah.
Precious, then that could have given her more time to develop that. You know, there's just so many different factors that go into it, and they just have two
Definitely.
completely different stories, you
Yeah,
know.
it's weird like that that's who she's comparing herself to make a point, you know.
I get it. You know, I'm sure, you know, she didn't really consider who she was going to choose to name,
I don't think she thought it through. Yeah, I think she
but
just pulled the
I get
first.
it. I get what she's saying though.
Yeah. She just pulled the first fat funny person she could think of. But it's, you know, it is what it is. Like, I will stand behind Spy till the day I die.
Oh, I love Spy. It's so
I
funny.
could watch that, like, seriously, once a month. Seven
I know, I
funny.
just rewatched it a few days ago, actually. That's so funny you said that, because my mom and I, we needed like a Melissa McCarthy marathon, and the first thing we watched was Spy.
Aw, I love
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, there's so many to choose from now. That's what I love. Like, did you see Thunder Force on Netflix?
Yeah, you know, I
It's
love
that
Melissa
character.
McCarthy. Yeah.
That same character. Identity theft, throat punch. That's all I need
Yeah.
to see, and I'm happy. Yeah, there's so many. Like, but like my I whenever I talk about it, my mom goes, but she plays the same character in everything. Everything. And I'm like, yeah, but she does it well.
Yeah.
Walter.
Yeah, it's true. She's right, your mom. I never really thought about it.
Yeah, she's like Tammy, identity theft, Spy.
Yep.
Like, it's bing, bing, bing. You know, they're all the same character. Whatever, it works. You're right. I think Melissa McCarthy is probably going to do something quirky and independent. And I mean, she writes and directs a lot of stuff, like her and her husband. A
she
lot.
And her husband, right?
Yeah.
He's everything she writes. He does a cameo, at least, in everything they
in the
they
comedies. In the comedies.
Yeah. But I think I read there was something where, like, he kisses her. He always gets like one kiss. And is there something like that? True. Is that true?
One scene.
Is there truth to
maybe.
That? I think. Yeah. Like, there's a, like, when he was in, when she was in the one with, I can't think of his name.
Bridesmaid.
No, that one. And the one where she played the detective with, I can never think it. Nick always helps me with the names.
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock, thank you.
Yeah.
When he's sitting at the bar or something and she kissed him, like, there's always like the one time where they do the kiss. Yeah.
Same thing with Identity Thief too, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick, for always like pulling up the name for me, like the name of the movie, the name of the person. I can't remember the
It is my one unique hidden talent is that I am like an encyclopedia for actors.
Without
the only
a lot of help. Like, she just goes, you know, the one that was in the one at the bar, and like, you can get it. Like, you don't need a lot of contacts.
You know, you can thank my mom for that, because she gives me like the most vaguest like clues to try and figure something out, and I adapt. I figured it
Honestly,
out.
My wife is exactly the same way with me. She'd be like, you know, the one that was in that show with the thing.
The one with the
like,
thing.
I'm good, but I don't think I'm that good.
Funny.
With the thing. So all right, we probably should wrap it up, even though we bottled this fucking show so bad. You guys, I feel terrible because you really missed the best part of this, the whole hour before we turned the recording on. Did we get your Oscar predictions, or did I not have that recorded?
I don't think we got them. I should probably say them real quick.
Okay,
Yeah.
so the big ones, the best actor.
Best actor, Cillian Murphy.
Best actress.
Lily Gladstone.
Excellent. Best picture.
That'll go to Oppenheimer.
Best director.
Christopher Nolan.
Really? Really? Okay, and there's two supportings.
That will be Robert Downey Jr. and Divine Joy Randolph.
Okay, like
Heard it here first.
I think I and I you know what I will agree with you. I will agree with you on all of those, and but I hope for something different in director.
I
Don't know
wish
why.
I could tell you that there was some opportunity for someone to break
I
through, but
know, I know
Christopher
it's gonna be,
got wrapped up.
I'm not
Me
gonna get
too.
we discuss the differences between why I didn't Killers of the Flower Moon get as much bestowed upon it, and we did say it was probably the topics, you know.
Yeah, it got overshadowed by Oppenheimer, and also I think it's really hard for people to want to award a film that makes them look inwards and have
Go back.
to face, complicity throughout history, and that's hard for audiences throughout time, huh?
That's
Oh
true.
yeah, definitely. But like I said, I think if something is going to make you shift in your seat, you know, like it and make you a little bit queasy and uncomfortable, it's that movie and what it's about. It was a big undertaking, but yeah, like I do think the subject matter in this case, not taking away anything from Oppenheimer, because that's about like dropping a fucking bomb, you know, and killing hundreds and thousands of people. But the way you like we talked about the approach, you know, like yes, Oppenheimer was more palatable about an awful situation, whereas Killers of the Flower Moon, it was right there, it was brutal, and it was in your face. So yeah, I think that's a huge tell for
It's fascinating too because they both deal with like we were talking about very similar themes, and both directors took a third person approach without inserting themselves too much in the narrative. It was really about telling it from a perspective that did not try to understand it from the marginalized perspective, and that's really important when telling these stories.
Yeah, it really is. It's so true. Like that was one of the reasons why when I was watching 1923, like it was getting all these accolades, like, oh, Helen Mirren, Harrison Ford, whatever. And I'm like, I'll give it a go. I loved Yellowstone. I was nuts over 1883. Like I felt like that was one of the best series I have ever watched. Like cinematically, the acting, the subject matter, going behind the scenes and watching everything on Instagram that they talked about at cowboy camp and learning how to drive a covered wagon, learning how to ride horses, like all that kind of stuff was so interesting. And that kid that was in it that was out of nowhere again, Isabel May, again, fantastic. So I was like, let's do the next version, 1923. Woo! And like three episodes in, and they're beating the ever-living shit out of the Native American girls. I couldn't go on. I couldn't watch it. I
Hard
just
to
could
watch.
not. I just felt sick to my stomach. We didn't know quite. I
It's
think
true.
that's, you know, that's what hurts me when I watch these things, is that I didn't know their plight, other than the fact that like we stole land from them. And why do we even have a Thanksgiving? It's so rude.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know those little bits, but
Right. You don't know the real brutality.
I don't know the brutality of it, and that's what made me a little bit sick. So I don't even know if I'll give it a go. I don't even
You
know if
know, the thing from that on The Color Purple that I was a little bit, other than the fact that I didn't expect it to be a musical and I really didn't care for it being a musical, the music was modern and it didn't match the time, the period it was in. I don't know.
That is one of my wife's biggest pet peeves.
Really? Oh my, I thought I was the only one. And I said, like, it just didn't match the time that it was in, the music in the show, so in the movie. So that was my pet peeve about that. Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was good, the music. I mean, but it didn't match the period. I don't know. What do you
that's
think about
very
that?
Super strange. Like, that's weird. That I didn't know. I thought it would be jazz. Like,
No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like Sister, 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 that song she sings. That's not the name of it. What's the name of it, Nick? You probably know.
Oh, gosh, I don't know that.
No, it is Sister, because Nicki Mitchell sings it.
Sister, yeah. I just thought the music was modern, too modern for the period. Although they do that song in the show, in the movie. I love that song.
It didn't bother you at all, Nick?
No. I think that the style of music, the genre that they were making for those songs, it was more representative of what the emotion of the characters, something that would be, I guess, more receptive to an audience. You know, like the songs were created when they did the stage adaptation for the Purple musical.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of it was geared towards really engaging an audience. And so, you know, we don't view the musical numbers as a part of the narrative per se, but just kind of like the emotional spirit.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have to be suited to that time period, I guess. Like, anachronistic music doesn't take me out of it as much.
I didn't even think about that. Like, when we were watching Wonka, like, I never once thought, oh, this doesn't really fit that period, because it was so fantastical, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But it bothered my wife so bad. I was binging the shit out of Reign, REIGN, about Mary, Queen of Scots, right? It was a Canadian series that went on for, like, whatever, 14 seasons. But I was into it. Like, I was down with it. I was really into it. And every time she would come in and she would hear, like, the music, whether it was a segue to another scene or whatever, and it was like a Bryan Adams song that they were just doing, like, on Bridgerton. Yeah. Like, they do it on Bridgerton, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, and that always, like, catches her attention.
Oh,
and she's like,
why did anybody else, it mattered to anybody else, but maybe because I'm a person. She's a music person too. I mean, she's a musician.
Yeah, she was a music teacher for a long time. She's, you know, plays an instrument under the sun. But yeah, that's just one of those things that like catches her ear. Okay. Well, you don't have to watch it. I'm watching it. Get out of here. So yeah, that is funny that you pointed that out. There was, you know, what's interesting too is that, isn't it, I don't want to say sad, but like, you're watching the awards, and Nick, you watch them completely different. But I mean, like, most people are watching it for those 7 awards. You know, like, supporting, actor, actress, lead, director, movie, whatever, script. But when you go into the score and, you know, like, all that kind of stuff, and the cinematography, like we were talking about, you know, like, I don't know that people really appreciate them, because they're going to be entertained, you know, and we're doing the same thing, but we're also honing in on things that other people aren't. You know, and that's like, it's a gift, man. Yeah, it makes every award show worth it.
It does. Yeah, you know, I hope that we continue to televise those different categories. You know, what's weird is, ever since COVID, when Sundance started offering virtual screenings, so now people, including this year, have been able to pay to watch films and get a link and watch them at home instead of having to go to the festival for accessibility. But you think that that would increase the conversation,
right?
But exactly. It hasn't.
That's very strange. Again,
that's a good point.
Feels clicky. Feels really clicky. And you know something? I'll put it right out there. In this there I said it kind of way. I don't like watching shit on my laptop. I love watching YouTube.
Yeah.
But I like watching YouTube videos, TV shows. You know, when somebody sends me a link for Vimeo, whatever, oh, here's a you know, copy of our film, or whatever. I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not gonna watch it on my laptop.
Yeah, I hear ya. I'm the same. Same.
My wife is one of those techie people, so she'll hook the laptop up to the HDMI cable or whatever, and run it to the TV to keep me interested. Now we have to watch The Gilded Age. So yeah, I'm like but that's just it for like I feel crappy saying that, but I don't like to watch stuff on my laptop.
No, don't feel bad about that. No, we shouldn't, you know, become accustomed to watching movies and things meant for a big screen on such small screens. You know, that's not how this is supposed to be viewed. So,
yeah.
I was just the hotel I just stayed at in New York City in Times Square, the W, did not have smart TVs. I have to say the whole thing. No, that's but crazy. I was. Because I called the desk and I'm like, how do I get Netflix? You know, I'm trying to get, you know, to put my own Netflix on there or Hulu or whatever. And they weren't smart TVs. I didn't want to watch it on my laptop. I didn't bring my laptop this time, but
that's so weird.
Crazy. Like that's really strange. Like when we went to Gaylord Palms, they had like, it was limited, like the choices were limited, but you knew you were watching it through Hulu or through Netflix or whatever.
It's been forever. I mean, I just couldn't believe that they didn't have that sounds so spoiled, right? But I couldn't believe they didn't have
I went to like a boutique hotel up in like the mountains here in Colorado, and they had a smart TV. So that's so weird.
It's very weird. That's
check
why
your privilege, man. Check your privilege. Here we are talking about the plight of the marginalized community.
Right?
Smart TV, it's a W.
I had to watch the commercials.
Oh, yeah. Check your privilege. All right. Listen, you guys, now we're rolling on the late night hour.
Oh, it's late for you. Yeah, it's so late for you.
My cat's got the tweaks. Okay. So we're going to come back after Oscar season. We're going to check your predictions and we're going to hear about what you're excited about after what's coming down the line. Okay.
Can't wait.
All right, good to see your cute face.
Nice to see you, Nick.
Great to see both of you. Thank you for having me.
We're gonna make it a regular thing again. Okay.
Yes.
Why do you always run?
It's like never stop chasing your dreams.
We drank way too much whiskey.
See? See?
Is you. Don't ask me why I'm here tonight. I had to take this midnight drive to find you. And as I come in through the door, I see her dancing on the floor beside you. Why do you always run? to her touch. That's true.